Farming Programme with Araquip Steel Stockholders, Withambrook Industrial Estate Grantham, supplying the region for over 40 years.
Attention tenant farmers, if you're concerned about rent review time, help is at hand.
The trend I'm seeing is that landlords seem to be putting forward these really high proposals, but actually they're not substantiating them at all.
We'll hear from the TFA, we'll talk straw, agronomy, cereal drilling, the markets, and what to do if you fancy becoming a young farmer.
So all of October, our clubs will be holding new members' nights to invite and encourage young people to come in to a meeting and joining in the activities and the fun and see what being a Lincolnshire young farmer is all about.
The Week in Agriculture. This is the Farming Programme with Steve Orchard.
Good morning. After a couple of lovely days, looks like the wet stuff is back this week under low pressure. We'll check the forecast at the end of the programme. I'm Steve Orchard. Hope you've had a good week. Talking of the weather, how has it affected this year's straw harvest and the market? Let's find out from contractor Andy Baxter. Morning, Andy.
Good morning.
And let's start the conversation off as we start virtually every conversation off at the moment with weather. That must have impacted straw this year, surely.
Yes, certainly. If we can just rewind the clock back to last autumn and winter, things were looking very, very serious on the straw front. However, thankfully, with a reasonable spring, a lot of oats, a lot of spring barley, spring wheat went into the ground, and come harvest time, fortunately for the straw buyers and suppliers, things weren't quite as devastating as what they were going to first appear.
Yeah, because there were fields underwater. That water stayed around for an awful long time. I think those of us not in the know would have assumed you didn't get an awful lot of straw.
Certainly down below average, but as I say, extra acres went in where possible, and that just managed to save the day a little bit, followed in turn by a reasonable weather period for most of the harvest, which allowed a lot of people to leave the straw in trails and have it baled.
So quantity down a little bit. What about quality?
Quality pretty good, actually, apart from those last sort of 2 weeks as we got into September when the weather went downhill rapidly. Nearly all of the straw baled in most of the summer was of good quality, and we've certainly had to turn less straw to let it dry less acres than many years previous.
Well, a little bit of good news in there. What about prices?
They've levelled out. There was a bit of a tug of prices going on when the harvest started. People were looking to see how much it was going to go forward, but people actually were prepared to sit back. Let's look around. Let's see how things go. And that forced prices down as people had to get fields cleared and get straw on the move.
What sort of prices are we talking about now then, Andy?
Today, pretty much around the £70 a tonne mark for wheat or barley. There's one or two price benefits for one or two niche jobs where people want some very good quality. And certainly for the bulk buyers, the price has gone the other way and gone quite a bit downwards. And certainly now, with the weather we've had in the September period, any temporary stacks or bales still out in the fields have certainly taken a massive hit with the rainfall. So quality just gone downwards quite rapid.
That's contractor Andy Baxter. Many thanks for that, Andy. Is there a young person in your family, 10 to 28 years old? You'll notice I didn't say, is there a young farmer in your family? Because, as they always say, you don't have to be a farmer to be a young farmer. Lincolnshire YFC always has its doors open to new members, but this month those doors are flung wide open for New Members Month. County Development Manager Kate Knight, what's happening?
Well, lots of things going on. So all of October, our clubs will be holding New Members Nights to invite and encourage young people to come in to a meeting and joining in the activities and the fun and see what being a Lincolnshire young farmer is all about.
What sort of activities? Because we said a second ago that you don't have to be a farmer to be a young farmer. There's got to be some farming element to it, or is it countryside generally?
Yeah, generally countryside. So we've got a real range of young people in Young Farmers that aren't necessarily farmers or linked even to agriculture, but have a love of the countryside or have friends that live in the countryside or live in small country villages themselves. And it's just having an interest in everything countryside, meeting new people. And the great thing about young farmers is they meet weekly. So it's a great way of, you know, getting in front of your friends and doing things together. They normally have a really fun and varied programme, and you can pick and choose a bit. But obviously, the more you put in, the more you get out.
And it's kind of a combination of fun activities, bit of business, and some learning opportunities too.
It is a combination. So Young Farmer still runs on Young Farmer tradition. So once a month, they will have a business meeting. That's where those at the top of the team as such, those that are the club chairperson or club secretary and club treasurer, who essentially are running the club, will lead a meeting and encourage members to stand up and talk about what they've been doing in the last month, set any business that they need to do. They'll include all the sort of countywide activities. So it's a great way of giving young people the sort of confidence and skills to chair meetings and get involved in speaking, but also whilst doing something you love.
And plenty of fun too. And there are a lot of clubs around our county, aren't there?
Yes, we have 16 clubs. New Members Nights and the New Members Month is all about encouraging new members in, but of course, retaining our fabulous members that have put so much into Young Farmers and hopefully are continuing to have the fun.
And I think it's important to emphasise that whilst we've got New Members Nights and New Members Months, it doesn't all just happen in October. You can join at any time.
Obviously, the sooner you join, the more you're likely to get out of it. We still think it's great value for money. It works out mostly around £1 a week to join, and all of the activities that you get, not just in your weekly meetings, but all the countywide activities that we put on, including, you know, rally and pre-rally, Lincolnshire show, all the competitions that we run and lots of sort of social events. So it is great value for money. So the sooner someone joins, the better. But yeah, we welcome members at any time of the year.
Thanks, Kate. All you need to know is on their socials or search Lincolnshire Young Farmers New Members Nights. To the fields and the crops and agronomy advice now, remaining damp for the foreseeable. Good morning to independent agronomist Sean Sparling.
Yes, good morning, Steve. What a chuffing week of weather, and it's doing a little bit of it now, isn't it? It started off so well, so promisingly last weekend. 22 degrees last Saturday, lovely sunny day, then just 4 mm of rain for me by 6 o'clock on Monday morning. But the Met Office had promised a lot more than that to come, and sadly, that was a promise that they actually kept this time. 18 mm of rain for me from midnight to 6 a.m. Tuesday morning, the 1st of October, then another 22 mm by 6 o'clock on Wednesday morning. No rain to speak of, thankfully, on Wednesday and the rest of the day, and nice sunshine, but then spits and spots and spitting and spotting ever since. So by 6 o'clock on the 3rd of October, I'd already taken 40 mm of rain so far for the month. Now, there was a bit of drilling done, a fair bit of drilling done actually last week through to the monsoon season kicking off on Monday, particularly for those people with the heavier, clayier, blackgrassier stuff, finding it very difficult to forget the memories of autumn 2019, when if you didn't drill that heavy land before the rain around the 12th of October, then you didn't drill it at all. And of course, memories of last autumn when it was all a bit catchy again, to say the least, too. So panic is already starting to set in, unfortunately. However, it is, after all, still only the very start of October, and we should expect to see a bit of wet stuff and rain from time to time. And just because it's rained 80 odd mil in the last 2 weeks, that doesn't necessarily mean that we should start to build an ark or that it's not going to stop raining now until February. There's plenty of time to panic once we hit December and we haven't got any drilling done, but I don't think there's any need just yet. So I say again, it's still only the beginning of October. There's plenty of time to get wheat in the ground yet. Didn't the old fellas used to say, maul it in and haul it off as well with these conditions? But that does, of course, depend on the act of mauling it in being actually possible. And that's another thing, because when the old fellas used to say, maul it in and haul it off, we had 120, 130 horsepower tractors pulling massy drills and the like. The whole setup, including the seed and the tractor, weighed no more than about 4 tonne. Today, the drill alone weighs more than that, and many of these drilling rigs weigh 4 or 5 times that. So physically finding good enough conditions to exist to be capable of standing that sort of weight alone often loses us vital days. So maybe we should all have a light drilling rig on standby, 140, 150 horsepower, two-wheel drive tractor with a 4 metre massy drill. Doesn't sound so stupid at this moment, does it? But by the same token, we do have kit which is capable of dealing with a bit of rain and sticky stuff. And if your drill setup won't drill with those conditions, then why the devil did you buy it in the first place? So once it dries remotely enough to drill, it's going to be all systems go. Seed rates by this coming week should be aiming to establish 250, 275 or so plants per square metre, depending on the condition and the weed burden. I won't go into varieties, seed rates and all that jazz this week. Just listen back to last week's programme for that. Slug activity getting to be more and more widespread now, though, as I said last week, especially but not exclusively after rape and peas. So do get your slug traps out and monitor them that way. Crops that went in 10 days ago or so are already up and growing very quickly in these moist 15 degree soils, so they'll hopefully stay well ahead of any slug damage. But it's the stuff that's just gone in and yet to emerge, along with the stuff that you've still got to get in, they may well be a different story. So do please be aware that the slugs are out there and they're blooming hungry, and they've got plenty to go at, of course. You know, keep your eye on these legumes, the AB15, the NUM3 mixes that you put in for slugs as well. And while I'm talking about the SFI mixes, don't forget about the cropping restrictions after sugar beet that have been treated with Cruiser. If you drilled Cruiser dressed sugar beet in April 2022, you cannot drill a flowering crop or a mixture containing flowering plants before January 2025. January 26 if you drilled dressed sugar beet in April 2023, and it's not before January 27 if you drilled it in April this year with Cruiser on it. That means anything containing vetches, peas, beans, buckwheat, linseed, phacelia, sunflowers, oilseed rape, mustard, soybeans, clover, chicory, radish, lucerne, borage, sandfoin, niger, lupins. Just check these mixtures, because I'd hate for any one of you to be the example that is held up to the rest of us for getting it wrong. It's not too late, of course, if it's not already in the ground, is it? So check the labels. So for winter wheat and winter barley drillings, then, once the weather in the fields sort themselves out and we can travel, if you're drilling into land where blackgrass runs free, then you need to spray it. Get your pre-em on within 24 to 48 hours if you want to get the best results on blackgrass, and do not wait until the blackgrass has already started to put its roots down. It needs to germinate within these herbicide layers to get the most from your money, and it's serious money as well if you're utilising the top end of the spectrum mixes. And do stay safe. 40mm drilling depth, seed well covered, and avoid imminent heavy rain following application of these herbicides. All of those things need to be foremost in your mind to give these crops the best possible start. Huge numbers of whitefly about all of a sudden this week as well, if you've noticed, coming off the brassicas and out of the trees, I should imagine. Big numbers of frit flies too, once again this autumn. Aphids still easy to find, along with plenty of ladybirds and spiders. And if you can find threshold levels of bird cherry oat or grain aphids once you've reached 170 growing day degrees since the crop emerged, then you may need to consider an insecticide treatment. But think very, very carefully before slapping insecticides on at this time of year. Plenty of predators out there, as I say. Driving down the A15 near the Ashby turnoff last week, the field on the west side was shining absolutely silver, and that's the silk of tens of thousands of tiny little predatory spiders. They're all eating aphids, so give them a chance to do you a favour at this time of the season. The spiders and the ladybirds certainly outnumber the aphids on most, if not all, of my fields at the moment. Disease levels stay low in the oilseed rape for another week. Foam are visible in the forward stuff now, but that's probably big and ugly enough to look after itself and not be threatened too much by foam. Time running out now that we're into October, of course, for things like clethodim and Clearavo herbicides, so do speak to your advisor about cut-off timings and spray intervals. Anyway, look, still the odd late brood swallow flipping about. It's wet, it's miserable, it's sticky, but it is still only just October. It is early yet, so fingers crossed it'll come right before too much longer. So let's see what the next 7 days bring.
Thanks as ever, Sean. Now, if you're a tenant farmer, you may have been hit with a rent review letter or call recently. What can you do? We'll chat to the TFA shortly. Get some thoughts on winter cereal drilling, plus a look at the livestock and grain markets and the weather for the week to come. Next.
The Farming Programme with Araquip Steel Stockholders, Withambrook Industrial Estate Grantham. For all your steel needs, call their friendly experts.
Now, attention tenant farmers, if you've been hit with a rent review letter or call recently, what can you do? I'm joined by Caroline Squire, valuer and advisor at the TFA, the Tenant Farmers Association. Good morning, Caroline. The TFA has tweeted recently with concerns over some rent review activity. What are you worried about?
Yes, there's certainly been a lot of rent review activity this year, instigated by landlords serving notice last year. And we're finding that a lot of landlords are coming to tenants with proposals very late in the day, as in only a few days prior to the rent review date. And that's almost being used as a bit of a bullying tactic to push tenants into a corner, because they're made to feel as though, oh my gosh, if I don't agree before the rent review date, the landlord's going to apply for an arbitrator and it's going to go to arbitration.
Would they not normally be required to give a certain amount of notice, or is it just a case your rent review is the 30th of September, I could contact you on the 29th?
If they're acting professionally and morally, they ought to be in touch in good time to allow for negotiations. And indeed, if they're following the new landlord-tenant code of practice, they're supposed to be in touch in good time to start negotiations. But unfortunately, there are lots of landlord's agents out there who in touch very late in the day, sadly.
And some of the rent increases that I'm hearing about seem to be pretty sizable this year.
Yeah, very much so. And to be honest, the trend I'm seeing is that landlords seem to be putting forward these really high proposals, but actually they're not substantiating them at all in terms of like providing budgetary evidence and comparable evidence for AHA rent reviews and comparable evidence for FBT rent reviews. And without that, like, these agents may as well have just plucked figures from thin air for all we know, just because it's the rent they want to achieve rather than because it's the rent that should be payable.
Is there a formula, or is it really a case that the landlord can say, I want 10% more?
No, there is a very specific formula. So for AHA rent reviews, it ultimately boils down to budgetary and comparable evidence, because rents are based on the productive and earning capacity of the farm and what other comparable holdings, what they're paying in rent. And with FBTs, the rent can be anything agreed between the parties, as recorded in the FBT contract itself. A lot of them will be based on the statutory formula, which will be essentially what the farm would let for on the open market between a willing landlord and a willing tenant. So again, that would boil down to comparable evidence. So in both scenarios, the landlord ought to be providing evidence to justify their proposal.
And what can a tenant farmer realistically do if they're hit with a rent review and they either don't like or don't agree with the new rent that's being proposed?
Well, the first thing I would say is take professional advice. So do give us a call at TFA head office to speak to an advisor, which is all included in your membership fee. And the first thing I would say is, one, ask for the evidence to justify their rent review proposal, be it budgets and comparables or just comparables. And if they're able to provide that, it's a case of picking holes in all the evidence that they've provided. So the budget, most of the budgets I'm seeing are incredibly unrealistic in terms of the costs and prices. And likewise, to ask for the details of the comparable farms to actually check they are genuinely comparable and they're not comparing a grade one land farm with a grade three land farm.
And ultimately, if the two parties can't agree, then what?
Then if one party wants to pursue a change in the rent, then they need to apply for the appointment of an arbitrator prior to the rent review date, because if that's not done, the rent review date will pass and the notice to review the rent will essentially die. So in practice, all that does is extend time for negotiations. It doesn't necessarily mean it will go to arbitration. The arbitrator can easily be put on hold. So certainly don't, if any tenants are listening, then don't feel backed into a corner to agree prior to the rent review date just to avoid that happening.
So I think that's the thing, isn't it? When you get one of these letters or a call, A, don't panic, and B, talk to you guys.
Yes, very much so. Don't panic and give us a call and we'll be able to advise you in the background on what to do.
Excellent guidance. Caroline Squire, Rural Surveyor and Advisor at the Tenant Farmers Association. Thank you so much for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thank you very much.
Before we check the markets for the week, we've some thoughts on winter cereal drilling. The Farming Programme's Andy Marsh has been speaking to Chris Bond, Crop Nutrition Product Manager at FMC. And firstly, he asked Chris about how the wet weather over the last few months has impacted the soil.
We've had a lot of rain. I think September to May last year was the wettest on record for many. And I read somewhere that it was about 25% above the five-year average. And I think that inevitably leads thinking for next season and crops going in the ground this autumn to potentially looking at earlier drilling, try and avoid some of the issues if it comes wetter later on.
And I gather some farmers may be considering doing that early, but you'd have some concerns.
Potentially. I mean, it's more about managing the crop if it's going to be in the ground maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks longer than normal. You know, that crop's going to need nutrition to look after its health and general growth and development in that longer period before winter dormancy.
Generally speaking, and it is difficult to generalise because farmers all over our region may have slightly different soil, but how has it affected soil, generally speaking?
We do quite a bit of tissue analysis through the year, and if we look at this season, we've particularly seen higher levels of deficiency in some of the leachable nutrients, so things like sulfur, inevitably nitrogen, but also micronutrients like boron that are more susceptible to leaching. But along with those, maybe things like zinc, that also becomes more unavailable in very wet, cold soil conditions, not because it leaches particularly, but you know, when we get lower biological activity and in that kind of condition, it leads to more of a higher percentage of insoluble, unavailable zinc. So we also saw an increase in deficiency in zinc as well. So I think there's potential for those nutrients still to be less available going into the following crops this year.
Given that's where we are, what are you advising farmers to do precisely?
Potentially, we want to look at promoting improved growth and development before we go into winter dormancy. The crop's got longer to grow a bigger biomass above the ground, but we want to look after also the roots under the ground. So applications of potentially zinc, phosphate that encourage root development will be important. But also, you know, key micronutrients, manganese, copper, zinc, these are all important for, you know, the strength of the crop going into the winter period. So they're important for lignin development in terms of cell strength and also leaf wax production. So if we're, you know, effectively strengthening that crop for the winter, we might have a bigger biomass that is at risk there. So we might want to improve that strength and health over wintering and get that crop set up ready for next year.
That's Chris Bond, Crop Nutrition Product Manager at FMC.
The Farming Programme.
Market reports.
Starting with livestock and from Louth Market auctioneer Edward Middleton. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. This week, prime steers all in average 305.42 pence per kilo and prime heifers all in average 282.85 pence per kilo. An absolute flying trade in the prime cattle ring this week with a top price in the steers, in the pence per kilo and the heifers went to F. Wallace and Son of Biscathorpe at 321.5 pence per kilo, or £1,987.10. Top price in the heifers in the pence per kilo and the pounds per head went to J&S Brooks of Struby at 309.5 pence per kilo, or £1,810.58. Moving on to the sheep report. This week we had an SQQ of 278.58 pence per kilo and an all-in average of £124.42. A large yarding of lambs this week, but the weather really not on our side. It never stopped raining all day, which has obviously hampered the SQQ and the averages. Top price went in the lambs at £150, went to three ways this week. £150 for AJ Colson, Sons of Oscoby, Elusive Bloodstock of Boston, and B. Foster of Louth. On to the ewes, we had an average this week of £81.15, a massive entry forward with 200 ewes penned. Saying that, probably 80% of those ewes were grazing and running on feeding ewes, which is obviously reflected in the average. Top spot this week went to Otley House Farming of Walesby at £150. Feeding ewes anywhere between £50 and £80, and mules this week topped at £100. Finally, onto the store lambs, an average this week of £76.78. A handy show of lambs this week with just under 100 lambs penned. WMA of Rawby topped at £97 for a Texel crosses. Beth Foster of Louth sold Charolais cross lambs to £88. And M. Elwes of Scunthorpe sold longer keep lambs to £64. Many, plenty of alleys full of store lamb buyers forward. So if you've got store lambs, again, please give me a call. That concludes this week's market report. A reminder, we have the full dispersal of Mr. Michael Reed of Hemingby on Friday the 11th of October. Catalogues are available online. About 110 head of Pedigree Lincoln Red and British Blue and British Blue Cross Cattle Forward.
Thanks, Edward. And with a look at the grain markets, open fields, Alice Killam. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Steve. A good week in all, finally. The UK November futures are now trading above the 190 mark. We now have to hope that the low of 176 is behind us. We know the main story in town. It has very little to do with the supply and demand of grain around the world. It's the unknown of what might happen when one country bombs another and the allies from either side either join in or threaten to. Markets don't like this. More specifically, speculators do not like the unknown. When you have no real idea of what your mobile phone is going to tell you when you first look at the news headlines in the morning and you have a lot of money on red, it is not a good place to be. So the movement in the last few days can mostly be attributed to funds. Lots of short covering because of this. Egypt, the world's largest importer of grains, have struck a deal with presumably the Black Sea to purchase over 500,000 tonnes of wheat per month from November to April, a deal which equates to over 3 million tonnes. Is this a further example of a large buyer thinking that they need to cover some positions? With the weather situations around the globe refusing to go away, it is perhaps understandable why both the funds and the big global buyers are taking this stance. More locally to us in the UK, I am sure that most of you have caught this week's news story regarding Andrew Bailey, the Governor of the Bank of England, where, in an article with The Guardian, it suggested that interest rates may fall more sharply than originally planned. Throw this currency movement into the ring amongst the other more bullish news and you can see why we've had some reasonable days. I must try not to become too bullish, so I will add in this as balance. At the moment, Russia and the Black Sea remain cheap. They are off the bottom, but they are still cheap. Likewise, the US, currently harvesting one of the biggest crops in their history, are pricing themselves to get rid of it. We've had a good week price-wise, but not everything has changed. The Chartists will be talking about something called a double top. When we've seen two small rises before, we slip back down again into the doldrums of the last couple of months. More locally and applicable to the UK, I've heard more than once the last couple of days that our import numbers, much like the Black Sea export numbers, are going too fast. Is it inconceivable that we could actually become net exporters by the end of the season? If this were true, and we have seen this rather ludicrous idea happen before, then this would give us a sharp reality check in the final couple of months of the season. I do feel a little more bullish, certainly, but we must trade with caution. The funds are now nearer to a square position, and so they are going to need some significant reasons to move into a long and a more bullish position. I'm not suggesting that it's impossible in any way, but if you've seen a good move up, then the sensible move is obviously to grab some of this upturn. We don't know what the news on our mobile phones will say when we wake up either. The carry still remains strong, £2 per month from December onwards, so making forward sales into this rise will help further if you're able to hang on to things. Some guide prices for this week, circa Friday morning. Feed wheat, October 185 to 195, January 192 to 200, May 200 to 210, with Group 1 milling premium sat at around £50. Feed barley, October 150 to 160, February 155 to 165, May 160 to 170. All seed rape, October 390 to 395, May 400 to 405. As usual, please do call for firm values.
Thanks, Alice.
The Farming Programme. 5-day forecast.
The pressure's dropping, bringing some unsettled weather this week. Winds are mostly light and variable until Friday, when they pick up significantly. Mostly dry and mild today and tomorrow, but then expect some heavy rain for the second half of the week. Daytime highs in the mid-teens Celsius, mild nights with lows just in double figures. Next week, we'll see how preparations are going for next year's cereals as the big show returns to Lincolnshire and discuss the upcoming Rural Crime Action Week. I'm Steve Orchard. Until then, have a great week.
The Farming Programme with Arroquip Steel Stockholders, Withambrook Industrial Estate Grantham, BSI ISO 9001 accredited.